for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, April 9th, 2004. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dale Copeland of Worcester, Oklahoma, is the minister.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
That you know, we're so lucky if we get the Father's attention. You know what? Zachary can't help but get my attention. He's my son. I'm going to give him my attention. He's my son. He's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to fellowship with him. I'm going to try to draw him out. I'm going to try to encourage him in areas that he otherwise would not be encouraged. All I'm saying is he's not lesser a physical body than I am. He's not of a lesser species. He's my son. How in the world can we think that we're God's children and be lesser? I'll tell you how. Religion. And because of that, we're in bondage. We're tormented and tore and trapped and eat alive by the enemy because we don't know. We've been taught to think that we are lesser than we were born to be. Remember, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. If Adam produced after his kind, then don't you think Jesus produced after his kind? If Jesus was a quickening spirit, then what did he produce? He that's joined the Lord, 1 Corinthians 6:17, is one spirit. Not two different ones, not one lesser and one... You see what I'm saying? It's one spirit. He that's joined to the Lord. I'm telling you something. To be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, the Scripture said, you've got to understand, he's highly exalted. He'll always have the position of King of Kings. He'll always... But he... As far as the Spirit of God and that which we are, Zachary is as much flesh as I'm flesh. I'm as much spirit as Jesus is. Because I'm born of spirit. First among many, what? Brethren? Now, dog, you know, some people call their dog their kids. But we know they ain't, and they know it too. No matter how much inordinate affection, if you get to loving them too much, it's inordinate affection. No matter how much you care for your animal, it ain't your child. And its flesh is different, its nature is different. It'll never be, and its offspring will be different. And if you don't believe it's different, just hang around and watch it, and you'd be an outcast in society if you do what they do. And it ain't just because they ain't been taught. It's because that's their nature, and they're always going to be that. Because that's what they are. Well, we are what we are. Born of the Spirit. If we get a hold of this, see, this is by faith. Have faith in God in the operation of the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. I'll read the last part. It says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image." Into that same image. Yes, that word's metamorphosis. It's like the caterpillar does. We are changed into the same... That word image there, it means a coined impression. Exact duplicate. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, I know it's talking about the changing of the covenants. We was changed from that glory to the glory of this new covenant. But the principle of beholding His face and changed into that image is there. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, and we'll read through 7 right quick. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, or the placing of sons. We are not adopted as the world talks about adoption. That is a lie. That is a heresy from religion. Man, I've heard some beautiful messages on adoption of how nice it is that God decided to adopt us. Then you ain't born to the Spirit. You know, you can adopt somebody that has no part of your life, of your DNA. Or you can say, God wouldn't even let Abraham have an heir that didn't come from his own loins. Right? He would not even let Abraham have an heir. I'm telling you something. We're not adopted like, well, we belong to somebody else. No, we died and we were buried with Him and we were raised with Him, a new creation, a new creature in Christ. I've been born to the Spirit. See, I am who God says I am. See, I mean, this is very important that we know who we are, because then you'll go out there and when your flesh says, you know, you really would like this. No, I won't. You ain't running my life. And if you know what? If the flesh can't run my life, the devil can't run my flesh. See, if I'm in charge, I'm in charge. But you'll only be in charge if you know who you are. If you think that, you know, what we end up doing is we get in this hand-to-hand combat with the devil, thinking that our flesh is us, and I'm fighting the devil, and I'm trying to win over this thing. Well, your spirit don't have to try to win. The victory's already been won in Christ. You're seated with Him. Wake up, see? Come alive to who you are and where you are, and act like that's who you are, and things will change. My, my, my. It said, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. Now, you've got to understand what it's talking about there being a servant. He said right up above it, he said, as long as a child, though he's an heir, is a child, he is as a servant. He's under tutors and governors. But there come a time of placing that we are no longer a servant, but we're a son. And the new covenant was the time of placing. See, I don't have a baby Jesus in me. He's a full-grown Jesus. Jesus ain't having to be taught and learn how to relate to the Father. He is a full-grown Jesus. I've got, listen, He said, me and my Father will come, and we're going to live with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. I've only got 10 more pages. I'm trying. I just feel the hopelessness of trying to get there. The best is always at the last. But a lot of times you won't understand the best until you go through the process to get to what it took to get there. I'm going to read, as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Anybody ever quoted that one before? Oh, no, but most people stop there and they don't know what the next verse is. It says, I have not seen, oh, I mean, so many times I've been in services, people quote that scripture and tears run down their face, oh, it's going to be so wonderful in heaven. I have not seen, they didn't even know the next verse says, but He's revealed it unto us. Did you know that said that? It says, but He hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit. See, the Spirit can't reveal nothing to the natural mind. The natural man. The Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of God. What's that? I don't know. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 9. And we'll read through 12 here. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, get this, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, but now that don't stop here. You say, okay, that kind of leaves us in trouble then, because ain't no man knows anything about the Spirit of God. No man can know that except the Spirit of God. But He says, Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Which tells me I can know the things of God. My, why have we sat in darkness so long? And we can know, and we've been given the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us. What kind of, how were they given? Freely. That's without restraint. That's even without having to beg. Freely, when I freely give something, man, all I need to do is just know that somebody will accept it. I just freely give. I don't even demand something back in that sense. It's freely given. Now, verse 14 says, the natural man received not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. But they are spiritually discerned. Well, if you are a natural man, people say, well, I'm just a natural man. Well, then you ain't got nothing from God, according to the Scripture. Man, we better quit acting like we just added Jesus to our life and still living under the old covenant. We're a new creation, and we don't think of ourselves like that. You know, we got this doctrinally, but we ain't got it in us. We ain't got it. It's not in our... Our heart knows it, but our mind has not been transformed or renewed. We got to be renewed or transformed. I think that's metamorphosed also, ain't it? By the renewing of our mind. Our heart has to train our head. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 29, we'll read through 5 and 1, says, it's talking about Isaac and Ishmael. He that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Now, there's a principle here. I'm not trying to teach on this subject. I'm trying to show us a principle. He which is born after the flesh persecuted him that's born after the Spirit. In verse 31 it says, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know what it's saying? Don't be ruled by flesh anymore. Don't live your life as if flesh is the most important thing. You realize most people, I don't remember who it was I was sharing a little bit ago. I told our assembly, I said, if the services, the church services that we have is the bulk of your spiritual reality, if that's the bulk of your relationship to God, then you ain't got much relationship. To take 4 to 6 hours out of a week and say that is the bulk of my spirituality is a pretty empty life. Well, I know that's just where most people are at, though. And then we wonder why we get the results. How many of you would have A's in school if you went 6 hours a week? Well, you ain't going to get A's in God either. Day and night we meditate. We study to show ourselves approved. We seek the things of God. We yearn. We hunger. We turn the television off and we listen to the voice of the Spirit. I mean, you pursue. You find places of fellowship. You find friends of like spirit that wants to talk about the Lord, that wants to dig deeper than the surface of things. You educate yourself in the things of God. Not argue for doctrine. But it's a hunger for the life of Jesus to be manifested. It's a yearning that I can't stay here. I told our assembly a while back, I said, if we don't move from where we're at, we're going to die. I mean, we've got to move. We cannot stay in this place any longer. And what I was talking about was at the level of understanding that God had brought us to. However great some of them might thought it was, or however little some of them might thought it was, if we was going to die here, we got to go on. We got to yearn for more. We got to change. We got to be changed. And it starts with a changing of the mind. We're going to have to learn. See, I mean, we'll spend 8-10 hours a day to make money to comfort the flesh. You realize that? I don't have to have a newer car or a more expensive house. I don't have to eat steaks every time we eat. I don't have to have what I'm saying. I don't have to have the more expensive. I don't have to have the $1,000 couch instead of the $300 one. If God's blessed me for that, that's fine. But if I'm going to spend my life for that, as if that's the important thing, that this flesh that's failing without the life of Jesus being manifested in it, and not invest the time to learn of the Spirit that can keep it alive, it's kind of foolish. We're going to have to learn to live our life from the knowledge that the Spirit is who we are. Galatians chapter 5. If that be true, let's read this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let me say it another way. If we're spiritually alive, or if we're alive spiritually, then let us walk in the Spirit. Let's quit giving mixed signals to the world. Let's quit acting like it's the natural realm that's so important if we live in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you why here in a little while. You see, some people might look at me and say, boy, have you changed? You know, yeah, I've changed. But I've not changed in the sense that I still believe in life and immortality. I believe in the kingdom of God in the earth manifesting itself. I know where God made man, where He wanted man. But I understand that none of that's going to happen except the Spirit rule. You see what I'm saying? The kingdom of God's not going to be manifested in the earth unless the Spirit rules. Physical, mortal, I'm not talking, the Scripture didn't say this corpse must put on immortality. That a corpse is not mortal. It says this mortal, this body that is dying, must put on immortality. It says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall also quicken your dying body. See, I know something. As long as we think that our dying body is us, it's just going to die. Because it ain't who we are, and we better find out who we are if you want to keep it alive. I'm not too interested in changing residences. I'm not too interested in moving. And I don't think God is. Because He put us here because He wants us to manifest His glory in this realm. You see? Let's go on here. If we live in the Spirit, if we're alive spiritually, then let's start conducting our life in the Spirit. I mean, my goodness, if the Lord speaks to us, or if some spiritual thing happened, we're so awed and moved by it because it happens so seldom, we'll write a book or have 10-month series of teaching on it because it's so seldom. It ought to be normal to conduct, if we're alive spiritually, it ought to be normal to operate from the spiritual realm. We ought to do it all the time. And if you want to know what it means to operate from the spiritual realm, look at Jesus. Because that's what He did. God wants a family. He didn't want just one son. He wanted a family. You see? So, Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, you know, it's where you put your time, it's where you put your effort, it's where you put your heart, it's where you're going to get your results. I can't believe that I think of these things like this with my children, because we teach our children at home. I know how intense and how much attention has to be given for them to do good, that I'm amazed that we think we can do good spiritually with less. You understand what I'm saying? If we give our children 6 hours a week, why, they'd be 30-year-old before they ever graduate or more. What it amounts to is we get old and die before we ever graduate. Instead of graduating, we die. You know, because we don't we're our heart. People, you know, people will spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to go to college so they can be skilled at something for a few years and then die. Why can't we spend what it takes and live? Why can't we give the effort? Why don't we? Because we've really not been taught that it's available. The hunger's not ever been, as Jerry Clower says, flung a craving on us. We've been taught to be happy with dying and go to heaven. We've been taught to be happy with just getting healed. Listen, I don't want to just get healed. I want divine health. I don't want to get sick no more. See, I want enough life working in me that death can't work. I don't want just an operation to get rid of the disease or the cancer or this or that. I'm talking spiritually speaking. That causes these things that I've got. I want a new bloodline. I want an immune system built up. That's the life of God that there's no death can attach itself to here. You see? Now, oh Lord Jesus, how much time I got, brother? Oh Lord. It's been good to be here. That's about all I could say. I need to get to here, even if we 5:16 of Galatians. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You know, to walk in the Spirit means conduct your life in the Spirit. How many spiritual experiences do we have? Like I say, the best kind of experiences that we've got is a lot of times is real spasmodic. And it's not a common thing to be caught up in that dimension. But you know what? It's available to us because it's all been made one in Christ. Everything that's in heaven and everything that's in earth has been made one in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. So the spiritual realm and the natural realm, neither realm ought to amaze us or be estranged to us. But we have been so natural minded that it's almost, we would almost call it witchcraft to walk in the Spirit. People would be scared of you. They'd say, you was way out on a limb. You come to visions and things and you see things and that they don't see and stuff like that. You start seeing into the other dimension and seeing demons and angels and stuff. And my goodness, people would think that you're off your rocker. But you know what? It ought to be normal. It ought to be normal. I mean, it ought to be easy to talk to God. I can't believe that we call Him Father and we have so little relationship with Him, that He's so distant from us. It said, if you walk in the Spirit or conduct your life in the spirit realm, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or that word lust there is not necessarily a bad word. It's desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires are in opposition to or against the Spirit. If they're in other words, the flesh desires something different than the Spirit. You know what? The Spirit may say, get up and pray. The flesh says, I'm sleepy. Now, being sleepy and wanting to sleep is not necessarily sin. But the flesh has a different desire than the Spirit. Now, we know that what sin is taking God-given desires and perverting them. God gave a man and a woman a God-given desire, each other for the opposite sex. That's a God-given desire. It's not sin. But adultery or fornication, in other words, taking that desire and perverting it, becomes sin. Fulfilling that desire our way instead of God's way becomes sin. But it says the flesh is in opposition to the Spirit, and the Spirit's desires are in opposition to the flesh. And these lie opposite or are contrary the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that we would. But if we be led of the Spirit, we're not under the law, which the law was the works of the flesh. It was a law of works. Apostle Paul said, it's not by works lest any man should boast. And he was talking about, if you're going to be justified from the law, it says, Christ ain't got nothing to do with you. See? It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, and it tells the perverted desires of the flesh, but these things come about because of the desires of the flesh and not the Spirit. Now, Romans 8:12. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Now, I know it's still speaking about the law and the new covenant. As a matter of fact, the whole New Testament just about is about the changing of the covenants. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God is not trying to control your flesh. He's trying to control your spirit. And when you're joined to Him and your spirit and His spirit agrees, you'll control your flesh. See, He tried to control their flesh through the law and it wouldn't work. It was weak. If we think, live, act as though our physical bodies is who we are, then we are absent from the Lord. I'm going to say it again because that's what the Lord told me. If we think, act, and live as though our physical bodies is who we are, then we are absent from the Lord. You're at home in the body. But if you understand that you are a spirit, that's who you are. You live in a body. You have a soul. Then it would be impossible. How in the world, if Jesus is in me and I can come to the throne boldly, how can I be absent from Him? If His kingdom is in me. Right? Kingdom of God's in you. You mean it's an empty kingdom? See, I mean, I understand. We have to reconcile some scriptures that the Lord has put into this, into our book. I want to read a scripture here, right quick. Ephesians 2:18. I got so much. I did. Sometimes you get bogged down because you know you've got more than you can talk about anyway. And 2:18, we'll read through 22. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. You know, shoot, all my life we was taught we was foreigners and strangers and that we was looking for a city just like Abraham. You realize that? We've taught in Hebrews chapter 11. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God, and that's what we are. And we'd sing a song, looking for a city where we'll never die. Huh? There the sainted million. I mean, you know, I come up in that old school, and we didn't know that we are no more strangers. You realize the first verse of chapter 11 in Hebrews doesn't give a definition of faith as it's been taught. It makes a declaration of truth. It said, now faith is substance. Well, if you read the whole thing and you understand how the writers wrote many times, they'd make a complete statement up front and then tell about it. What he was, the whole subject was about what they had faith for but didn't see. Right? He looked for a city, but now the city was substance. You realize the church is the city? Well, it is. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 9, I believe it is. It says, I come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And He took me, and He showed me that holy city, New Jerusalem. Well, now let's go on here. And you're built on the foundation of the apostle, prophet, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Listen, if we're absent from the Lord, you know what that would mean? Then that would mean God's not at home. If you're builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit, we can't come to church and say that we're His habitation and say He's not here. You know, we're not a condo or a vacation house somewhere on the beach. And God just uses us occasionally. Well, I guess I wore you out. I believe God's at home. Yeah, I'll tell you what, there ain't a child of God. If we're the temple of God, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Know you not that you're another place that you're the body is the temple of God? If somebody knocks on our door, they ought to be able to find God home. And God, you know, God don't hit and miss. But you know why we do this? Because we have this mindset that we're this poor sinner saved by grace. We keep identifying with the sinner. We keep looking backward instead of we keep looking at the lamb instead of the lion. See, the saved by grace was for the purpose of reigning with Him. You realize that? And if we always look back, now that's not being ungrateful. You hear what I'm saying? Each person has to be birthed. And I wouldn't take nothing for my birth, but I don't want to go through it again. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like we used to, you know, say, oh, well, people act like the 30, 60, and 100-fold. 30-fold is the outer court, 60-fold is the inner court, and 100-fold is the holiest of all, you know, and all these things. And boy, we act like the 30 and the 60 was nothing. Boy, 100-fold is what we was after. Well, let me tell you something. I wouldn't take nothing for my salvation, for my spirit birth. It's real important because there ain't going to be no 100-fold without it. It's not unimportant. It's very important. Spirit salvation, baptism of the Holy Ghost is very important. But don't camp there. See? Don't camp there. How has children been born if God's absent from us? I said lots of times, God's not a deadbeat dad.
You know what they call deadbeat dads, you know?
God's not that.
The church world's got God as almost a deadbeat dad. But He's been gone all through the hard times and everything like that, but one of these days He's going to reward us all for all the hard things we went through.
You see, kids that didn't know their parents or this or that when they grow up, and sometimes they say, hey, you wasn't there when I needed you. They have trouble forgiving then, don't they? Well, God is here when we need Him. He's a very present help in time of need. He said, I will never leave you. How do we reconcile these scriptures? See, I mean, we're going to need some... Like I said, this ain't just my problem. It's in your Bible, too. So, you know, don't get upset with me or this or that. It's all of our problem. We got to find out. I want to know the truth. It can't be both ways. We got to want to know the truth and be willing to follow the leading of the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you what, we'll get a hold of this thing and this chain will be one link after the other and it won't be broken. And we'll be set free. I tell you, I encourage you today, find out what brought death. Find out what brought death. If you find out what brought death, death wasn't, when death came into the world by one man, it was not physical death. But the death that came, physical death is a byproduct or a result of the death that came. And if by one man came death and by one man came resurrection, if by one man came death and so death passed on all, then the Bible says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ. If all died in Adam, everybody that gets in Christ ought to do what? Then the result that come from Adam's death, if physical death, sickness and all this, and disease and everything is a result of that, then what should be the result of us living? But what has happened is Satan, by his perversion, by his sorcery of witchcraft from pulpits, has shorted it out. It's like this. It's like you're wealthy, but you've inherited a whole lot of money, but somebody is controlling that money, don't want you to know it, and they keep making you believe that you're poverty-stricken. The enemy wants you to know, he wants you to believe you're poverty-stricken, that you can't have these things in God. You've got to wait till you get over there. See, he wants to keep you blinded and ignorant, because when he does that, he keeps you in bondage. But when you start seeing that you're a son of God, a child of God, you've been born of the Spirit, that you... I mean, he loved you so much. The Bible says you're seated with him. Now, if you're seated with him, I always say this. He's, oh, well, that's just spiritually, or that's just metamorphic. How do you say that? Not metamorphosis. No, it's metaphorically. Yeah. If that's just that, then Jesus is just that, because it says he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. And then it says we're seated with him. So if I'm just metaphorically seated, then so is Jesus. I don't believe that. I believe he really is seated, and I believe we really are. And if we really are, you know what? You do not find seated until the work is done, until the victory is won. And if you get to sit with him, you've got to understand, Jesus didn't go through this exercise for himself. It was for us. Praise the Lord. It's for us. So we know who we are. I tell you what, it's brought such a delight into my heart and my spirit to live. It's brought a new strength into my heart and my life. It's just been phenomenal of what, as this is getting into my spirit, knowing that I am not who people think I am. All they see is this body. That's all you can see physically, is this body. But that's all this body is representing who I really am. And the purpose for the natural realm is not for the purpose. In other words, we wasn't born so that we could get ourselves comfortable and please ourselves and just make life easy for us. We was born for the purposes of the Spirit. The natural realm exists for the purposes and the pleasure of the Spirit realm. But people have got a God as their sugar daddy. Right? You know what I'm saying? They've got their God as their quick helper to help them prosper in the natural. Let me tell you something. You start prospering in the Spirit, and the natural will follow. Matter of fact, the Scripture said that'll be added to us. See, I call it great prosperity, like I said last night. Anytime you can feed with a few fishes and loaves, you can feed 5,000 or 10,000 people, you're prospering. It would take a rich man to feed that many people. And he didn't even have to write a check or carry a big bag of money. Anytime that you can just, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't have to go to medical school. But I guarantee you, he went to a spiritual school. He was educated in the things of the Lord. He learned about the things of the Spirit. He talked with his Father. He spent it. What I'm saying is, he understood that the natural... He exercised authority. Look, they was chasing. They was going to try to kill him. Remember that? And the Bible said he just went through their midst. I said, that has to be cool, man. Has to be fun. He must have been really scared, see, because he stopped at the temple gate after going through their midst. He stopped at the temple gate and talked to a man that was blind. And his disciple says, "Was this man blind from his mother's womb? Who did sin? Him or his parents?" What a crazy question! I mean, he's blind from his mother's womb. Did he sin in his womb? In the womb? But anyway, Jesus healed him. He had just went through their midst. They were trying to kill him. I don't think he was too scared of getting killed. You know what he was? You know what he said? He said, "There ain't no man takes my life." You know what I'm saying? Spirit controls the natural. The natural is here to serve the Spirit, not the Spirit to serve the natural. And that is a very important revelation that we need to lay hold of in our lives. That the natural is here to serve the spirit realm. Because what we've tried to do is get God to serve our natural things.
And the Bible said it plainly, seek you first the kingdom of God. That's the realm of the Spirit. The word kingdom is also translated realm. God is Spirit. Seek you first the realm of Spirit. And all these other things will be added. How will they be added? When you need them. When you need them. I love it. You don't have to pile it up and hire a security guard to keep it. You just operate from the Spirit realm. Walk in the Spirit. Conduct your life in the Spirit. If you're alive spiritually. Let's don't give mixed signals. We tell in the church world that we're, or the world out here, that we're spiritually alive. We've been born of the Spirit, and we run just as hard after the natural things as they do. I mean, there's something more important in there. Let's learn who we are. I trust you've been blessed. You received. Thank you, Brother Miller, for allowing me to share my heart. And Brother Miller has come and ministered for us some time back on Israel, the lost tribes of Israel, and we so enjoyed it. And he knows how I feel in this. He come with more information he could have given a month or 2 months probably. And eventually you just kind of get overwhelmed because you know you ain't got the time, but you got all this and you don't know what to say first because some things need to be said before others can be said. And see, that's important. If you don't think that's important, I'm telling you something, it's important. Wherever God placed you, you need to know why you're going to church where you're going to church. You really need to know that. I tell our people, I want to know that you know why you're here. Because you're going to pass 10 other churches to get here. So you better know why you're coming here. If God ain't sent you, are you coming because you like the music? Are you coming because you like the preaching, because you agree with it? Are you coming because you like, you know, whoever? Are you coming because your family comes there? None of them reasons is good reasons to be at an assembly. We need to know that God has sent us somewhere so that we can be faithful to that, so that, I'll tell you what, if a child, let's say we've got a class of school, and my boy's there today and tomorrow, and he misses the next 2 days, and then he comes back, is he going to be behind? Sure he's going to be behind. You realize where the church world's been? I mean, we kind of drift in and out. We're going to be behind. If God has placed you somewhere and the Word of God is coming forth, if He ain't placed you there, I'd find a place if I had to cross the United States. I mean, that's how I feel about it. Been willing to. I want to find where God put me in the body. And I'll take root and prosper. Right? I mean, each person. God ain't put nobody. I'm not after people moving. Matter of fact, we've had opportunities for that. I always discourage, don't you dare come. Because you ain't going to create nothing but hell for me and hell for you if God ain't sent you. You better know that you're sent. Because I want people to prosper in God. So I'm not trying to get people to come. I'm just saying, hear God. Get in the Spirit. Talk to God. Let Him direct you. Let Him lead you. And get connected. If it's here at the campground, get connected and grow. Grow in the Lord. Prosper in the Lord. That's the passion that we have, that we prosper in God, that we bring increase. Because He said, if any branch in me that don't bear fruit, He cuts it off. You know what He's simply saying? If you don't bring increase, you ain't going to occupy the space too long. So we just die off. Go to the Master. God wants us to live and bring Him increase. Now I want to live. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.